Let's get into the nuts and bolts of that mini budget yesterday delivered by the finance minister, Tito Mboweni, who really painted a bleak picture of our economy. Our country is in the grips of a severe recession. The national debt expected to rise to 82% of GDP while tax revenue continues to shrink. The minister announcing spending cuts, a wage freeze on the cars. You heard the Public Service Association saying they're going to meet fire with fire. But along with that, SAA gets more money. Many departments have now had cuts that amount to 7 billion rand. Is it robbing Peter to pay Paul? Will we tax our way out of this crisis? Kevin Lings is the chief economist at StanLibs and joins us now. Kevin, always a pleasure to chat to you. Welcome back to our program.
Hi, morning, Gubugani.
Look, there was a lot made of Tito Mboweni's own metaphor about the hippo's mouth being open. Was he Hercules yesterday? Did he close the mouth of the hippo?
He's attempting to do that. Obviously, it's a huge task, and it's something that he's not going to be able to achieve in a matter of 1 or 2 years. It's going to take a number of years to try and get government finances into better shape. And obviously, he's focusing a lot of his efforts on closing only one element of the jaws, if you like, and that is the expenditure side of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of that burden is obviously going to fall on public sector wages in an effort to try and close that element. I don't think he spent enough time focusing on the other component, which is how do we get more tax revenue? And that's really a function of employment and economic growth and fixed investment. And I personally don't think there's nearly enough attention being paid to the growth component in this economy. Obviously, we have various policy documents that are out there, various ideas, and many of those ideas have merit. But there doesn't seem to be a high level of urgency with trying to implement many of these growth ideas. And I think there's no substitute. There is actually no alternative to growing an economy. It's not as if you can cut your way to success in terms of government expenditure. So I think he's putting various measures in place that will start to make a difference, but he could do a lot more to speed it up, if you like.
Are the politics once again getting in the way? Because part of how we got here, even with the public wage bill, the public sector wage bill, was around making sure that the labor unions were on side to make sure that the governing party could stay in power with their support. In a sense, we should not have got here to begin with. Do you think that's one of the things that he is navigating? And if the wage cuts are a central pillar of how he's going to get us out of this mess, will it be enough?
So I think politics plays a massive role, as it does in most countries, with regards to how government undertakes spending. Obviously, the expansion of public sector employment and fairly generous wage increases over a long period of time were political, there's no doubt. There's no doubt that the ruling party used that as part of the process of gaining support. As I say, many countries, many governments around the world do that. Obviously, if you do that, but at the same time you ignore economic growth, then ultimately you end up in a problem, and that's where we've got ourselves. So I've got no doubt that that's been a massive contributor to the difficulty. Coupled with that, you've got a huge increase in inefficiency. So it's not just that government has been spending a significant amount of money. The effectiveness of how they've spent that money hasn't been very good. Also, obviously, they've directed money away from infrastructure and fixed investment more and more into consumption, which in itself is aggravating the problem. So the expenditure component, the problem of that is on multiple levels. You throw in a high level of corruption, and you've got a significant issue that you're trying to correct. So yes, a lot of it is political, but then it takes on a life of its own.
He thinks, though, we can grow this economy by 3% as early as next year. He concedes that obviously it'll be off a lower base, hence he can make that prediction. Do you buy it?
So I think 3% is achievable next year. The base is incredibly low. It's it shouldn't be too difficult to actually achieve that type of improvement. But you've got to make the point that if you go down by 8% and then you grow by 3%, you're nowhere near where you were before COVID hit the economy. And based on the minister's numbers, it's going to take at least 3 years for this economy to go back to that level of activity that existed before COVID-19. And let's be fair, that level of activity wasn't particularly impressive to start with. And obviously, all through that phase, your tax revenue is struggling to get back to its previous level. So I think 3% very achievable, but it's not enough. You've got to find a way to lift the growth rate above 3%, and then most critically, sustain it at that level. If we grow 3% next year, and then if you look at his forecast for the years after that, it slips down to 1.7% and 1.5%. That's just not going to entice companies to invest and employ. Companies need to feel that growth is going to be sustainable at 3% and higher. Then you start to reap the real benefits of that type of economic growth.
There's been some reaction to the firming up of SAA once again. He's arguing that it's not necessarily all new money, but we know that it's going to be taking money from education, from police, from health, from transport, human settlements, water and sanitation. Is the SAA bailout justified?
Look, I don't think it's justified in terms of a commercial decision or even an efficiency type consideration.
Shouldn't those be the only ones?
It should be, but you know, these decisions are made in a political environment, and so I guess other considerations come into play. The government also would have various obligations that they have to meet in terms of the business rescue process, which they probably can't avoid even from a legal perspective. So I thought it was always inevitable, and I need to suggest that other SOEs are going to find themselves in similar positions. This is not the only problem. If I look at Denal, the post office, other SOEs, they also got ongoing financial constraints, and it's entirely feasible that at some point those SOEs require additional funding. And will the Minister of Finance adopt a very hard line with those and then ultimately be forced to give in and provide additional funding? So I don't think that the SOE story has gone away, if you like, with simply allocating a bit more money to SAA. This is a long process, and clearly government is not yet willing to give up on their overall control on all of these state-owned enterprises and their stranglehold on a large part of this economy. And to me, that is at the heart of the problem. We've created a government that we simply can't afford. The government is involved in so many aspects of this economy, and you have to question whether that is useful in terms of an overall outcome for growth and employment. And if the government says, look, we want to do this to create jobs, I don't think the process they're going about it is the right one. I think they should involve the private sector much more fully in many of these ideas and many of these initiatives, and I think the outcome would be better for everybody.
Kevin, the clear and present danger now is the reaction, obviously, of Labour, the Public Servants Association, telling me they are going to meet fire with fire. If they have to close this economy down for months at a time, that's what they'll do. But what they will not accept is what they heard yesterday. How will that work out for us?
Well, that's obviously a huge problem and a very likely outcome during the course of next year. Next year is the time we would sit down and negotiate the multi-year wage agreement anyway. Government did renege on the third year of the past wage agreement, so that's in the court system. So you've already got a court challenge to wage increases. You're likely to have a union, very strong union challenge to the suggestions that the minister put forward. All of that in a year that you've got local government elections. I think it is a melting pot for a flare-up of significant tension. And obviously that would occur at exactly the wrong time, at a time when you're trying to get this economy going, you're trying to entice foreign investment, you're trying to show that you can do infrastructure and a whole range of other things as you are desperate to lift growth and employment. So potentially it could really derail any ideas of moving this economy into better shape. If at that point the government has to back down from all of this it ends up giving in to the unions and then granting reasonable wage increases, it would all seem a little bit pointless. And it means that government finances would be under even more pressure, yet economic growth would be desperate at that point. So I think it's something that has to be very carefully considered before you simply embark on this type of protest and see if you can't find some resolution. And I think that there has to be some sort of sit down and chat about this in a sensible way before you get to that point of conflict.
Kevin Lings, I think you're telling us to fasten our seatbelts. It could be a bumpy ride. Chief Economist there at Stanlib.